Tonight on Live from Studio One, it's the Galactic Cowboy Orchestra in advance of their show at Vucaré on Saturday the 18th. I'm Emily Reese. Guitarist Dan Neal, violinist Lisi Wright, bassist John Wright, and drummer Alec Tackman started the band in 2009 playing what they call art rock. So if you think like jazz fusion mixed with prog rock. Galactic Cowboy Orchestra came to Studio One here at Jazz 88. They played a set. Then I sat down with Lisi and John to talk about the band's history and that upcoming show at Vucaré.
I am Lisi Wright of the Galactic Cowboy Orchestra.
This is John Wright. John Wright, the other Wright of the Galactic Cowboy Orchestra. And we're here at KBEM. And we're promoting, Justice reached out to us to promote our show at Vucaré.
Nice.
Which is on May 18th, coming up here very shortly, as did Phil Nussbaum as well. So thanks to the station. It's our first time. This has been our first experience in 10 years here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, coming by here. And I've been listening to the station for years, but I'd never been here.
Well, welcome. We're glad to have you.
Sure.
Thank you.
And it was absolutely fun to like sit in and listen to the session. You guys sound great.
Thank you.
Would love to know a little background about how the band started.
It started about 11 years ago now, I think. Myself, the guitar player Dan Neal, and Lisi, we're in a band. Actually, we still are in this band. It's a band called Memphis in the Meantimes, and it's fronted by
Mick Sterling.
Mick Sterling, who's a Twin Cities guy around town. And that band specializes in Sun Records and Grand Ole Opry music. Okay. So completely opposite from what the Galactic Cowboy Orchestra does. But we were all in the same room, and it was myself, Danny, Lisi, and at the time, his first drummer, Marco Day. And I had a desire to play instrumental fusion music again. I had done that on and off over the years, and for some reason, the thought occurred to me that it could happen with at least Danny and Mark and myself initially.
Mm-hmm.
So we started writing.
You would jam on sound checks from Memphis.
Yeah, we'd start just like musicians do. The ideas
jamming around.
And things would come up. And I thought, well, let's try this. You know, let's organize some rehearsals. I had Danny over. I said, hey, man, I got some ideas you want to write. This is a long time ago. So he came over with an acoustic guitar, just me and him, and we started running through stuff. It's very interesting because I had never, for those of you in the Twin Cities know Dan Neal. He's a infamous?
More than famous?
More than famous. Country guitar player. And I really had no idea that he had immense jazz chops or history or knowledge. Because I had only known him for his country and blues chops.
Yeah.
But he's got just this vast knowledge of jazz and skills with it. And he writes all this crazy good stuff. So anyway, there was some sort of instinct that just says, let's try it with Danny, you know, and it worked out.
Yeah.
So I was bringing rehearsal tapes home, and Lisi was listening. She says, I want to be in the band. I said, well, okay.
No, so you that's not what you...
I said, what I actually said was, this is a true story that I have to tell over again. I said, this music's too hard for you. That's what I said. I said, you wouldn't understand this music.
Yeah.
I
he didn't
said
say it was too hard. He didn't say it was too hard, but he said, no, you would. This isn't the kind of music you would
play. Well, I had never heard her
play
anything like that. She had played country fiddle. That's what I knew her as a country fiddler. I had married a country fiddler. I didn't know, and I certainly knew what she listened to at home, and it wasn't Mahavishnu Orchestra or King Crimson yet, you know, or any of those types of things that we were drawing inspiration from.
Mm.
She said, I like this. I want to do it. You know, I'm like, okay, so we went down and
I was like, tell me no, you watch me.
Exactly.
So anyway, first rehearsal, that was the band. It was a four-piece. We started rehearsing on a regular basis down at the Mark's rehearsal space every Monday, writing music.
Thank you. That was a track called Memo 9, played live in the Jazz 88 studios by Galactic Cowboy Orchestra here on Live from Studio One. The band has an upcoming gig at Vu Carré. It's Saturday, May 18th from 9 to midnight. After Galactic Cowboy Orchestra played for us, I sat down with violinist Lisi Wright and bassist John Wright. Here's Lisi.
We rehearsed a lot.
Yeah, we rehearsed a lot. Once a week.
Yeah.
You know, we would regularly get together on a regular basis and write music.
Yeah. And this is our 10-year, what do you call it for a band? Anniversary? Birthday? I don't know. Anniversary.
Anniversary.
Yeah.
Nice. Is that the reason for the show at Vu Carré, or just out that way?
Yeah. No, we are trying to play. We've spent the majority of our time in the life of the band on the road outside of Minnesota, or at least outside of the Twin Cities. We were fortunate enough via my wife to get an arts tour grant in 2014 to 15, or was it 2013 to 14? I can't recall. So that brought us to a lot of performing arts centers outstate. But we early on realized that, you know, in order to develop an audience for this sort of music, or any kind, actually, original music, you need to travel. So we spent a lot of time on the road, thousands and thousands of miles. So we just made a conscious decision recently to start trying to play back more in the Twin Cities. We're still traveling. We're still going out to the East Coast this year and various other locations that we've built up little followings, you know.
Yeah.
I thought, well, let's play more in town. And it's funny because we'll play a gig. We played a gig at the Hook and Ladder.
November.
And this guy comes up to me and goes, who are you guys? Where are you from? And you get I'm like, are you serious? But I have to realize that we haven't actually played a lot. And there's people now that would like us that might have just moved here 2 years ago, you know, that had never heard of the band because we haven't had a more of a local presence. Jazz 80, you know, we have a couple of Downbeat nominations from
nice.
When was that?
2 years.
Two.
When we released the last album.
Yeah.
We had a baby too, in between.
Yeah, which tends to slow things down a little.
So it's nice to play around town for that reason too.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
So in regards to why we're doing Vu Carré, it was just we had played the Dakota quite a bit.
Yeah.
Three or four, five times, and did well there in early in the band's history. So we just started trying to come back around and play to people here again, you know.
Yeah.
In addition to anywhere else we can, well, people let us play and we can physically get there without losing our minds. You know.
Do you think you consciously kind of avoided playing here in the Twin Cities in the early years just to kind of get out and about and spread your musical seeds elsewhere?
I don't know.
I think that's a good question. I in the early years I was booking the band and we were coming up against some what felt like it was just harder to get in a gig.
Yeah.
You know, at some of the hip venues.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, well, we'll get a gig at a hip venue somewhere else. So that's kind of where we did, how we approached it. And then we would still do a lot of summer gigs in the Twin Cities.
Mm-hmm.
Like Arts in the Parks and that kind of thing.
We've done music. We've headlined Music in Mirrors a couple times.
Yep.
Okay.
We did the Dakota Jazz Festival when he had one outside. Yeah. So we've had some good gigs here in Minnesota.
Yeah, sure.
And we've been fortunate that way. But we've had some really good gigs out of here too.
Yep.
And now more recently, it's just been fun to get into some of these like Vu Carré. That's a really cool room.
Yep.
For years,
what else did we play that was really just recently?
Ice House.
Yeah, that's a really cool room. Mm-hmm. So Hook and Ladder's great. There's some cool venues popping up. So
yes. Lisi, it seems like you're classically trained.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so when did you start making the transition into doing more fiddling and things along those lines?
When I was, I was like 19 or 20, I had to go home from college. I got sick, and I was at home down in southern Minnesota. And all my friends would go to Johnny Holm.
Okay.
And maybe you don't. Do you know who that is? It's the Johnny Holm band. It's a cover band.
Okay.
And he always would bring people up on stage, and they had a fiddle player. And I went up and I said to the fiddle player, I'm like, how long have you been practicing and how long have you been taking lessons for fiddle? Mm-hmm. He goes, I taught myself. I never took lessons. And I was like, what? it literally blew my mind that anyone could teach themselves. Like, I was like, I thought you had to have a teacher to play an instrument. And wow. I was like, well, I could do that. So then yeah, I just started like messing around. I had a job in Blooming Prairie, Minnesota, my hometown, working for a place that did printing for yearbooks. And so it was my job to keep track of the colors on the pages that were printed. And they didn't care if I played violin while I did it. So I just like would practice and watch the pages come out for 8-10 hours a day. It was awesome. So wow. And then I would go and ask Johnny if he'd let me play, and he'd let me play Devil Went Down to Georgia and Orange nice. Blossom Special. And like he leaned over to me one time and he was like, do you know Orange Blossom Special? And I go, not yet. And I had never even heard it. Like, right. I didn't grow up listening to
yep.
country.
Yep.
But I figured, well, that's what you got to do if you play violin. You know, it was, I don't know, small town kid, didn't know much about the big world of music.
That's amazing that you, like, got up on stage, too, throughout the process. Like, who does that? Like, who's like, hey, I'm still learning how to fiddle, but can I come up and play a tune with you on stage? Like, that's...
Yeah, I've always kind of been that.
She's been rather bold.
Bold move.
She's bold.
That's awesome. That track was Swara Kakali by the Galactic Cowboy Orchestra, live in our studios here at Jazz 88. This is Live from Studio One. I'm Emily Reese. Galactic Cowboy Orchestra played some tunes for us. Then I chatted with violinist Lisi Wright and bassist John Wright. Here's John.
Vukure, May 18th, 9 to 12. It's a $5,000 cover, so if we get one person to show up, we'll do pretty good. Or we could get five people to split it.
There you go.
But then they'd only let one person in.
Yeah, and so, they just want to switch every tune. Somebody else comes in. They could switch off.
I think that might work out.
Well, John Wright and Lisi Wright, thanks so much for chatting with us and playing for us today. That was awesome.
Thank you. Appreciate the time.
Thank you.
that was Triple S by the Galactic Cowboy Orchestra on Jazz 88. Big thank you to guitarist Dan Neal, violinist Lisi Wright, bassist John Wright, and drummer Alec Tackman for visiting Studio One for a performance. You can catch them live at Vu Carré. It's this Saturday, May 18th, from 9 to midnight. I'm Emily Reese. Our producer is Justice Sanchez. Live from Studio One is supported by the Legacy Amendments Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.